All right. Well, thanks, Bob, for giving me a chance to share. We're going to start in Luke chapter 2. We're going to do a little bit of jumping around. Conference call fellowship is always interesting because you've got 10 minutes to teach something you'd like to stuff inside of an hour. So, Reader's Digest version, right? So, you know, Bob was sharing those verses about God's grace, and how much we have been given is amazing. And it's available to anybody who wants to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the real grace of this whole thing, because remember, that includes us Gentiles. Mm-hmm. You know, originally it was not known that we, the Gentiles, would be able to receive. So the big question then becomes, now what do I do with it? Mm-hmm. Now that I've got it, what do I do with it? Where should my focus lie? Now we know that in Romans, the first commandment in the church epistles to us is that we are likewise to reckon ourselves dead to sin but alive unto Christ, unto God, unto Christ. So we're to be like Christ. So now we need to go to the scriptures and find out what is it that Christ did that we should be focusing on. And so basically the title of this short mini-teaching is We Should Be About Our Father's Business. So if you look at Luke chapter 2, and if we look at verse 46, background of this is the time of the feast, Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, would go to Jerusalem every year for the feast around Passover. When Jesus was 12 years old, they took him to the feast. Now the significance here is that when a boy was basically what they call the bar mitzvah today, when he was 12 or 13, he would go to the feast because at that age he was considered old enough to and accountable enough to participate in the law, the ceremonies and observance of the law. Mm. So that's the significance of that trip. So in verse 40, and so the feast has happened, Mary and Joseph have left, and Jesus didn't go with them. They thought he was traveling with them in the caravan, right? He's stayed behind in Jerusalem. So it picks up in verse 46, because they're looking for him. They realize he wasn't with them. And it came to pass after 3 days, they were looking for him for 3 days, right? Mm. Where is he? Where could he have gone? They checked the snow cone factory. They checked the candy vendor, you know. They checked the McDonald's. Nope, didn't buy any Happy Meals here. So after 3 days, they found him not. They turned back again to Jerusalem to seek him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And when they, Joseph and Mary saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? What are you doing? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And this is a great answer. He said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? Well, why does this surprise you? You know who I am. I am supposed to be about my father's business. So if you look back a few pages, if we look in Mark chapter 16, at the end of his ministry on earth here, when Jesus was getting ready to ascend, he gathered his apostles and he gave them a charge. And in chapter 16, verse 15, it says, And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be judged, is what the text says. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. so that after the Lord had spoken to them, that he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. So when Jesus Christ was present on earth in his ministry, what did he do? Healed the sick, cast out the devils, right? He preached salvation. I mean, that's what he did.
Yeah.
He was about his Father's business. And he's now charged them. Well, if you go in John, we're not going to go there, but in between chapters 14, 15, and 16, Jesus Christ has a long teaching in there about what's going to happen after he's no longer here and how the Father's business is going to be their business. Right?
Yeah.
So, if you look in 2 Corinthians, oftentimes what happens today is Christians get distracted. Jesus Christ redeemed us out of the world. He did not redeem the physical planet. The plan was to reconcile men to God, to redeem us out of the world. The planet still belongs to the adversary. If it didn't, we wouldn't call him the God of this world in the church epistles.
Yeah.
So he's running the show on the earth. He just can't touch us because everything, we belong to Christ. Everything's under Christ's feet. Everything's under our feet. So the powers that are working in the world have none effect on us unless we let them. And the way we let them is we start getting sidetracked to what's going on. What's going on in the economic situation, what's going on in the political situation, you know, you name it, you know. It's going on. Today we've got plenty going on to distract us. And some believers have been distracted. You'll see it on social media. What are they talking about? Remember, where the tongue goes is where the heart is. So what your heart's focusing on is going to reflect it in what you're talking about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, so these are all familiar verses, but think of them in this light, being about our Father's business. In verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So the old man's dead. The new man is here. And all things, it should be all things new, right? Because we know not all things are of God, right? All things new are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That and have given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the business that we've been given to do. We are the ones responsible for making known the gospel that reconciles men to God. The angels don't have it. You know, at the household of Cornelius, when that angel came down and talked to Cornelius, you know what he told him? Go get Peter. That angel was not given the responsibility nor the privilege of speaking the gospel. Peter had it because he was a believer, right? He had spirit.
That's right.
He wasn't just the spirit. He was body, soul, and spirit. And he was the one who, or one of many, who had the responsibility. In verse 19, it says, to wit, or to know, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Christ was about his Father's business, reconciling men back to himself, and have given not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So the word of reconciliation is the gospel that Paul preached. It's a gospel of grace. Because, let's face it, to be born again is the biggest act of grace there is, because we didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
It was Jesus Christ paying the price for us in our stead that made it available.
Yeah.
So we need to be about our Father's business. We need to be out there preaching the gospel. You want to change the world, preach the gospel.
There you go.
It's the only thing that's going to do it. You know, the thing belongs to the adversary. The more people come up, get redeemed up out of the world and join our family, the more the world's going to change. And let's go to one more place I want to go. 1 Timothy, because a lot of people get tripped up on this section of Scripture and they forget the context. So we're to be about our Father's business. And this whole section of Timothy really thrills me when I, first time I actually read the context, because we have a tendency to want to close the book at a certain point. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. Now that's four, is that four or five? One, two, three, four types of prayer. You want to make sure you're hitting all four types of that prayer? Speak in tongues. Because particularly when it comes to intercession and when it comes for prayer, just general prayer, we generally don't know what we're supposed to pray for. If we think we know what we're supposed to pray for, pretty good odds you're wrong. Speak in tongues. You'll always pray the right for the right stuff, right? Right? Be made for all men. And then it goes on, for, sets in correspondence with, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. At that point, we want to close the chapter and start the teaching about whatever situation is going on in the world today. A lot of times it's politics in our country. You know, different countries have different things the adversary's throwing up there to disguise things. But we've got to keep reading to catch the context. Why is it good and acceptable in God's sight that we lead a quiet and peaceable life? It's because it says in 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Father. Now here's the answer. Who would have all men to be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. It's good for us to lead a quiet and peaceable life so we can be out there about our Father's business and not distracted by everything that's going on. Prayer handles all that. That's why all those kinds of prayers are missed. That prayer handles all the crud going on there in the world so we don't have to step into the minutia. And then we just be about our Father's business. If you're going to talk to somebody about something, you know, sneak in the gospel. And it'll bless them. I've recently been on some mic nights and stuff with secular musicians in Tucson, and you'd be surprised how many opportunities I have had to speak the word to them. Just subtly slip it in there with results.
Great.
So it's kind of a cool thing. So no matter what you're doing, what you're doing, you know, we need to be about our Father's business. Yeah. So that's what I wanted to share.
Amen. Well, thank you. You want to pray, please?
Sure. So Heavenly Father, thank you for your great grace and your great mercy that you've had on us, that you've called us to your family, you've made us your own, and have placed Spirit in within us. Thank you, Father, that you've prepared the way for us with many good works that we can do for you, particularly speaking of the gospel and walking in love, that we can bless other people, that we can pave, we can plant the seed to allow you to reconcile men to yourself, that we can all just have look forward to the gathering together when we'll all be gathered together and have one big party in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.